Hallelujah. Be opening your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 3. For the last few weeks, I've been doing a series that Dave calls a refreshing, mainly teaching about what we call the fundamentals of faith. I call it Faith 101. Sue and I cut our teeth on these things. But I'm finding out that a lot of people in this generation don't know these things. And my first question is, how in the world have you survived this long? To live in this world and not know how God functions. And I mean that basic, elemental, foundational things that he says. But when you get to studying, you know, you find out we're not the first group like that. The book of Hebrews will tell you plainly that the first group that God tried to bring up to the promised land, they weren't able to go in. And he says, well, you're not going to be able to do it. You're going to wind up spending 40 years in the wilderness. The next generation, they're going to do it, but none of you are going to do it. And you wonder, well, why? And in Hebrews 3, if you found that, he's talking about that. And he says, let's see, we'll start in verse 7, Hebrews 3, 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works for 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, and here it is, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Now that's why they couldn't enter. And we're always, you know, us preachers, we're always pretty rough on that first bunch. Well, they didn't believe. They went in and they brought back an evil report, and only Caleb and Joshua, you know, and we're pretty tough on those guys. And then, but if I summarize it a little different way, it says, now all God required of them, who grew up their whole life not as warriors but as slaves, knew nothing about warfare. All he required of them was that they go in against absolutely impossible odds and conquer. And they took a look and said, we can't do it, and so they couldn't have the land. Gee, that's all. They looked at that, they said, well, that's impossible. I've learned the language of doubt. It's called, I can't. I can't. With God, you can. All things are possible to him that believes. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See? Now, he's called us to a land of milk and honey that I'm going to describe a little differently now. The land of milk and honey that we are specifically contending for is where the hospitals, the children's hospitals, are empty. Where the insane asylums are empty. Hallelujah. Where the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, cerebral palsy, muscular dystrophy, you name it, birth defects, everything gets healed first time, every time, just like we see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Impossible. Even the church says, impossible. Not if we know his ways. We're not going to be like that group. We are going to learn his ways because the second group that went in and did conquer, it wasn't because of their mighty strength. It wasn't because they were something mighty. They were renewed in their mind after 40 years to believe what God had said. They acted on God's word, and they had the results that God said they'd have the whole time. If we learn to act on his word in the same way, according to his ways, we will have the results he intends for us to have in our generation. So he's been having me go back and teach some of these fundamental things about God's ways, because his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. And we have to learn them because they don't come naturally to the human thought process. You've either got to get it from God or you're not ever going to get it. How many of you know that's why faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God? You've got to hear what God says about it. Otherwise, there is no basis for faith. You can't really have faith beyond knowing what God said. Amen? So I think the first one, we called it the kingdom jurisdiction. And we started going through verses like, the kingdom of God is within you. And if you look up that word within, it only has one meaning. It means inside. We went to Revelations where it says that God has made us kings and priests. Now you're a king. If words mean anything, a kingship doesn't mean much unless you have somewhere where you have dominion. Well, he says the kingdom is inside you. We went to the next step, which is Mark 11:24, talking about answered prayer. So the next one, I think we called it answered prayer or receiving answers to your prayer, something like that. Mark 11:24. And I've got it quoted here for you. You can go ahead and be turning to Mark 11:24. We're going to look at it in your Bible. Mark 11:24. See, if you don't understand this way of God, this is not the way most people know how their prayers are answered. You just talk to, you go to any church, just do a survey. How do you know if God heard and answered your prayer? Just anybody, almost anybody, unless they've been schooled in God's ways, they'll tell you, well, if the answer comes, he answered my prayer. And that's the definition of living by sight and not by faith. That is the exact opposite of God's ways. That's not how you get your prayers answered. That's how normal humans think, though. Well, how do you know you got it? Well, if I see the answer, I know he heard me and the answer was yes. Because there it is. That's the opposite of what God calls his ways. So let's look at Mark 11:24. I want you to see it in your Bible. Red letters. This is Jesus now. This is his way of answered prayer. And this kingdom dominion. See, the reason this is, you got to hear those first messages. I don't have time to lay that all out again. But the reason you have to pray is not, see, we are in a family. Dave eloquently said, look, in a family, the children, they don't come and give you a petition for a ham sandwich. You know, in a real family, you know, I expect my kids, if they're hungry when they lived at home, if they're hungry and old enough, go to the refrigerator and make a ham sandwich or whatever you want. And so Dave was teaching and using that analogy, but he was really teaching it coming against that attitude. There's an attitude of, you know, they'll even teach you from the pulpit, you got to go demand your covenant rights. You got to storm the gates of heaven to get your prayer answered. You got to stand there and tell God your rights, you know. And that's when he'd use that analogy. If my adopted daughter, Tawny, but if she would bring out her adoption papers and start showing them to me and demanding that I feed her, she wouldn't sit down right for a week. I mean, it would hurt him so bad. He wants to feed her more than she wants to be fed. He wants her to know she's a full-blooded child of his, a Roberson. She can go to the refrigerator. But what he was coming against was that attitude of, I'm something. God bless the food now. That's not the right attitude to approach your father. Jesus didn't do it that way. And that's what he was teaching against. He wasn't teaching against petitional prayer. But now see, the analogy there breaks down. I didn't get it for a long time myself. Why do we have to pray? Why don't we just go to the refrigerator? And I finally got it. This is on last week's message. Jesus told us in his prayer, our Father, which art in. The refrigerator you're trying to get the sandwich from is not in the house where you're living. God is in heaven. You are on the earth. Have you noticed that? He is in the realm of the spirit, what we call the kingdom of light. We are on planet Earth, which the Bible, after the resurrection, still says Satan is the god of this world. It's the realm of darkness. It's the realm of material. You're wanting a sandwich out of Daddy's refrigerator, but the refrigerator isn't here. So you're making a prayer. That's why the prayer itself is more of a legal transaction, if you'll let me do it like that. It's more of a petition. It'd be almost, you could use ambassadorship. You know, the United States has ambassadors in other countries. Well, they need money. You know, we support them. They need finances. They need things. Well, they have to wire home. You know, you could call it prayer. They have to telegraph or telephone or email or however they communicate with Washington. We need such and such. Okay? And then they ship it over there. Okay? It's the same kind of thing, only we need this, Father. We need this on earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. So we make the petition in prayer. That's where you receive it. Now, that's where we're going to look at Mark 11:24. When it says, when you pray, believe you receive it. You're receiving it into that dominion you have as a king, that kingdom that is on the inside of you. It's a possession in the realm of the spirit first. So you're a child of both worlds. Your citizenship is in heaven. At your core, you are a spirit being. You are a child of God. Your citizenship is in heaven. But you're living on planet Earth and you're wearing a body that's descended from Adam. If you don't believe that, just send it and see what it does at the Krispy Kreme store. You'll find out. That thing will still sin if you let it, okay? All right? So you're in both worlds. So you have dominion in both worlds. So you pray and you ask and you receive it. You're receiving that answer on the inside. You can't see it on the outside yet, but you're receiving from Daddy's refrigerator, if you'll allow me. You're receiving from Daddy's refrigerator into that kingdom that is on the inside of you. Now you've received it. It's yours. You're a king. You reign over this dominion. And the enemy is going to be firing missiles at you. He's going to be firing fiery darts at you. That's called doubt. Fear. Trying to make you believe you didn't receive it. Your kingdom is being assaulted by the enemy. That's why Paul says, while you're in that standing process, I'm telling you, you think on these things. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, whatsoever things are just. I don't have them in sequence, but think on these things. And usually people go, I can't help but worry. You can't help it. You're a king. You have dominion over your thoughts. Quit being lazy. You have dominion over your thought life, you king. I want to have dominion over people. That's the problem. Yeah. Right there. World domination. Here we go. I want to have dominion over people. No. You have dominion over your thoughts. Casting down every thought, every imagination that's standing there arguing against the counsel of God. You cast them down and you only think thoughts that are in line with your prayer and that, yes, I have it and have scriptures. I haven't even read the verse yet. You got to get those other messages because I'm just hitting the high points. Now, there's a lot of information in those previous messages, okay? And tonight we're going to get into something new. But let me read that. Let me read the whole verse, Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now I'm going to summarize real quick again, because you need to hear it again and again and again. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing sometimes, and hearing by the word of God. Do you get this? Decide or know what you want from God. We're going to look at a lot of those tonight. Get the scriptures that definitely promise you those things. Or I can't find scripture for that. What are you wanting to believe? I want to believe God will give me that man's wife. You're not going to find scripture for that either, see? See, that's going to save you from a lot of foolishness. Find the scriptures that promise you those things. If it's healing, one of my favorites, hint, hint, nudge, nudge, one of my favorites, Psalms 103. Forget not all his benefits, O my soul, who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals about a third of your disease. Who heals all of your diseases. Let's start right there. Yeah, but he won't heal cancer. All of your diseases. Yeah, but he won't heal cerebral palsy. All of your diseases. Start there. Minister to your own soul in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. How about saying that one about 1,000 times till it dawns on your lightning quick brain? He'll heal me. Ministering to yourself. He's already convinced. It's not him you're trying to convince. It's you. Anyway. Decide what you want from God. Get scriptures that definitely promise you those things. Then meditate on those scriptures. Just finding them and writing them down is not enough. You got to get them in your heart. Whatever works for you. Meditation, speaking them out loud. I don't care what. Something. Roll it over. Pray about it. Whatever works for you. What works for me really well is saying them a lot of times. And eventually, and then trying to see it also. But anyway, third, be ready to use those scriptures when the devil attacks, not if he attacks. He's going to attack you. Your fortress is coming under siege. You need to know that. It's coming under siege every time. How often? Every time. He is just as committed to see your prayers don't get answered as you want them answered. So be ready to use them. I got to use this again. Jesus did not try to think the devil away. When he was under attack by the devil, he didn't just stand there and go, happy thoughts, happy thoughts. He opened his mouth and spoke the word of God. Who is our prototype? Looking unto who? Jesus. Don't just stand there and fight. I'm going to happy thought all the doubts away. Open your mouth and speak those scriptures. He has no defense for the word of God. None. The word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. Take that word, put it in your mouth. Say it. Say it. Now, only then, once you've done all that, decide what you want, find the scriptures, meditate the scriptures, have them ready on your tongue. Ready, ready, I'm ready. Only then are you ready to pray. Before that, you're not ready to pray. Then ask God the things you want and believe you receive them at that moment. Now, you don't have to do this. This is not something required. This is something that I do. I like to write them down just as a point of contact. That way I know, I put the date on it. I know when I asked. I know the date that I believed I received. That is not required. I don't think Jesus did that. I'm not teaching that as doctrine. That is something that helps Gary. You may or may not want to do that, but it helps me. I write it down so I have a point of reference to come back to. And my only job really is to believe that I receive it when I pray. Here we go again. I'm going to do it again. It's good for you. When do you believe you receive? When do you believe you receive? When you pray, and that is before you have it. When do you have it? After you have believed you received. Now, people get that mixed up. More on those previous messages. Now, from that point on, let every thought affirm that you have received what you asked. Refuse fear. Refuse worry. Refuse doubt. And I mean resist it. And I mean resist it with your mouth. Those fiery darts are aimed at your mouth. You speak the word of God. Resist it with your mouth and think on these things. Whatsoever things are true, lovely, good report, and so on. That's God's way. That's God's way. And it'll bring the promised land. It'll bring down Goliath. It'll get you what you want from God. And it will work. If it's done this way, it will work 100% of the time. 100% of the time. Done this way. Always gets real quiet right there. But it's true. All right. Now tonight, I just barely touched on this last week. I have known these things and operated in these things, and I've let them slip before. What I mean by that, we'd have certain victories. You know, when you're under the gun, when you're in the battle, that's one thing, you know. But boy, you know, when you win that one, and the bills are paid, and kids are doing okay right now, and, you know, gas in the car, and they didn't repossess the car, and telephone's still on. You know, what happens is you get lulled into a little rest period. You got to watch those. Because what's happened, you get out of practice, and you'll let these things slip. The devil will attack again, and you will fall back on man's ways instead of God's ways. And then it's like somebody will, you come to a meeting or something, some house, or maybe you've got a good wife like I have, and she'll just, if you don't change what you're saying, because I did that with my back. I had let it slip. I was just doing everything in the natural, but my mouth was just speaking trash, just speaking, not cussing, but I'm talking about just speaking in line with the symptoms. I was just calling things that are as though they are. Trust me, there is no power to change things by calling things that are as though they are, because they already are. God's way, here's another way. You call those things which be not as though they already were. See? Now you got some power. My little wife, thank God for us. You just, if you don't change what you're saying. I was saying wonderfully spiritual, conquering things like, my back is killing me. If it gets any worse, I'm going to be in a wheelchair. I may never get to go to South Korea again and preach. Mighty man of God that I am, you know. Yeah. Boy, it hurt like it hurt really bad. You ever been in real pain? I mean, you know, pain. Yeah. Constant. All the time. Just thank God for a little bit of sleep just to escape for a little while. But man, it preaches to you. See, it presents evidence to your soul all the time. You're not healed. You're not healed. You're getting worse. Well, thank God for her. She said, if you don't change what you're saying, the devil's going to put you in a wheelchair and steal all the rest of your ministry. Man, I had to do an about face. She can tell you, from that moment on, you didn't hear anything come out of my mouth except the word of God, or speaking in line with the word of God, or talking to my back, calling myself normal. And at the time, I looked like the biggest fool on earth, because in the natural, I couldn't even stand up to walk from the couch to the bathroom. And we don't live in a big house. I couldn't make it. I could take about a step or two, and then I'd be on my knees, going to the bathroom, have to get a hold of the counter, pull myself up on the seat. Is that plain enough for you? And saying with my mouth, by his stripes I was healed. My back is strong. I'm healthy and normal. I can run and jump, and I can do anything I need to do, and I will preach in Korea again. And I did. I have too. Go anywhere he needs me to go now. Can you tell? I'm better, you know. But I had to receive that betterness before I could see it. I had to call it done before I could see it. My job is to receive it. His job is to make sure I get it. It's good stuff. Continue, Brother Gary. I think I will. Now, we've known these things and had many, many victories. We've told you about them with cancer and with our children, with other things. But most of that kind of praying, that the prayer, what we call the prayer of faith like that, Mark 11:24, was mostly for our own selves. It was things we needed, okay? I could take you even through all the things in the ministry that we've had to believe for, like computers and printers and all kinds of employees, salary, everything. But it's always been pretty much just for us. And we were cautioned, and I understand why, we were cautioned, now be careful, the prayer of faith is difficult to use when it comes to other people. And I understand why they would caution you, you know, because it's easy to slip over into Christian witchcraft. Can I call it that? Where you're trying to impose your will on somebody. Mothers are real bad about this, you know. They got a single son. They pick out the girl. Oh, God, I pray that my son marries this girl. And stuff like that. That's a pretty innocent example there. We could get a lot worse. Okay? So that we were cautioned, and to the point that I never really, you know, to me, intercession was always something kind of left to the intercessors. I thank God for that, are really called, have a real calling to that ministry of intercession. See, and I never did really so much. But in the course of this study, it's like God removes some more scales from my eyes. And all of a sudden, how many of you know faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God? He suddenly opened up his word to me, and I'm going, where have I been? Tonight, you are going to hear God's word, and faith is going to come for you to get your relatives healed, for you to get your friends healed, for you to get just about any situation you need, as long as it's God's will. And I better qualify that, because if I leave that, then you'll think. Now, the last thing on earth I want you to do is start adding to the end of your prayer, oh God, heal Brother Smith. If it be thy will. If you don't know yet that it's his will to heal Brother Smith or anybody else you pray for, you need to assimilate Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John until your assimilator rolls out on the floor. You need a picture of Jesus. See, I don't see, just take this homework assignment. Do this yourself. I did it. I did it years ago. The Holy Spirit instructed me. He says, you go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John yourself and see if you can find one person that ever came to Jesus for healing that they did not get what they came for. You won't find one. Now, he had to instruct some of them. He had to correct some of them. You're going to see a little bit of it tonight. But the end result, when they left, they had what they came for, all of them. Now, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Where do we get that? If it be thy will. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen his will. Jesus is the Father's will with legs. He is the Word of God made flesh. He is the will of God in action. The prophets said, God is a healer. Jesus came to show you God's a healer. You want to see God? Look at me. You don't need to add that, if it be thy will. It's his will. And the only one we have that even mentioned that at all was the leper. And it says, lepers weren't supposed to ever even be in public. They were supposed to shout from a distance, unclean. And no Jew was supposed to touch a leper. And that leper said, Lord, I know you could heal me, if it be thy will. And it says, immediately Jesus said, I will. Reached out and touched him. And the man was made whole from that hour. It's almost like on purpose. He wanted us to get it straight forever. If there's ever that question, is it your will? I will. Now that's my Jesus right there. That's the one I see. That's the one I see. You tell me Jesus show up and walk through the children's hospital, them kids aren't coming out? What kind of Jesus are you seeing? What kind of Jesus are you seeing? The Jesus I know, we get him through our faith and transformation. We loose him in the hospital. Them kids are coming out of there. Every one of them. Every one of them. All of them. Let's get this. You ready now? Everyone do this. We're going to do Bible drill now. You ready? Get your fingers loosened up. You ready? All right, go to Matthew 8. This is good. This is going to increase your prayer life. It's going to change your effectiveness in prayer. You are going to get answers for your children. You're going to get answers for your relatives. You're going to get answers for your friends. In addition to or in spite of their faith. Did you hear that? Now, they can't actively oppose you. You can't get a drug addict healed. Let's say it this way. You can't get a drug addict delivered that doesn't want to be delivered. And even God will not override his free will. We're not talking about that. But most people that are sick want to be healed. They're not actively opposing you. Okay, so here we go. Matthew 8:5. Says, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion. That's a Roman centurion. This guy has no covenant with God. He is not a Jew. Okay? But they come unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant, and the Greek word there is slave, and it means a young slave. This was a houseboy. This was a young male servant in the house. Today, we would probably refer to somebody like this as an employee, probably summer help. Okay? We don't have slaves, but it would be like an employee, somebody working in your house. Okay? And he's lying home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof. Now, the reason he's saying that, he's not being some kind of super, super humble. Don't go around saying that. The reason he's saying that, he's a Gentile. He's being very courteous to Jesus as a Jew because the Jews were not supposed to go under the roof of a Gentile. That's all he means by that. So he's being very courteous to Jesus. I'm not worthy. I'm a Gentile. You shouldn't come under my roof, but speak the word only. And my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, And he said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Now stop for a moment. This man understood authority. What is Jesus describing as great faith? This man had a revelation. Jesus is Lord over sickness. When he speaks, sickness has no choice. It has to go. We're supposed to be, from Ephesians, y'all remember Ephesians? Seated together with him in heavenly places at the right hand of God. God having given him a name that is above every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. I think that would include the palsy. This man had a revelation of it. Palsy has no choice. Speak the word only. Like, I have authority over these soldiers. I know you have authority. Let's say it this way. God's word has authority over palsy. Jesus is the word of God made flesh. We'll get to that in a minute. More details on that in a minute. The word of God has authority over every sickness, every disease. And the name of Jesus has authority over every sickness, every disease. He's already borne all of those, already carried all of those. And it's illegal for the devil to put it on anybody else. Yep, going on here. I say unto you that, verse 11, I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In a nutshell, all he's talking about here is, because they're still in the first covenant up until the cross, the Jews are in the kingdom of God. It's the only kingdom that's established on planet Earth under that first covenant. But that covenant is about to come to an end and be done away, Hebrews tells us, God having established a second covenant based on better promises. And Jesus is telling them, if you don't make that transition, you're in the kingdom now under the first covenant. But if you don't make the transition to the second covenant by believing that I am who I say I am, you're in the kingdom now, but you're going to be on the outside looking in that covenant. The whole world is in darkness. Jesus said unto the centurion, "Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so as thou what? As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee." And his servant was healed in the self same hour. Now look up at me. Do you think the word of God is given to us for instruction? Yes would be a good answer. Yes would be a good answer. Yes, it's given to us for instruction. Okay, we have a case here of a man who doesn't even have a covenant with God, but he comes as an intercessor. He comes on the behalf of his servant. Today we would say an employee. Conspicuously left out of this whole discussion is the faith of the servant. Did you notice that? Conspicuously left out. This man was able to come to Jesus and get healing for his employee. That tells me now, I'm not a rocket scientist. This is instruction. If he can come and get healing for his employee, I can come and get healing for my employees. Does that resonate with any of you? Let's look at another one. Matthew 15, verse 21. I can't tarry as long on each one of these because I know he wants to say some things on this message. We're going to look at another one. Now, this is one, a lady came for healing of her daughter. This woman also did not have a covenant with God. This is the woman of Canaan, her daughter, starting in Matthew 15, 21. Said, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan." Get that straight. A woman of who? She's not an Israelite. She has no covenant with God. "But she came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away." Religion a lot of times will do that, by the way. "For she crieth after us. But he answered and said, Well, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And see, up until the cross, that's absolutely the case. No other people on earth had a covenant with God. No other people had a covenant of healing on that side of the cross. How many of you are thankful now on this side of the cross it's extended to the entire world? You know, we taught on that extensively, thank God. But this woman, see, her faith, she knew that God was even bigger than that covenant. That's what she really says in her answer here. He says, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. I told you that's one of my favorite prayers. Help me, Jesus. Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. It's a good one. But tell me it's not scriptural. It is scriptural. Right there it is. Help me. Jesus, help me. I worship you. Help me. But he answered and said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. But now notice her faith. Her faith is, she knows God is bigger than that covenant. She said, truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And she said, oh, and Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Here we go again. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. You got what you came for. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now let's again, instruction. Let's see if we can get any patterns here. Here's a woman that didn't even have a covenant with God, but she knew two things. Her daughter was grievously vexed, and God had the answer. She came to Jesus. Let me say it this way. She came to the Word of God. Jesus is the Word made flesh. She came to the Word of God, would not take no for an answer, what seemed like a no. She knew God was bigger even than the covenant at that time. And she got what she came for. Now, I'm not a rocket scientist, but I'm a daddy. And if that girl, if that woman can come and get healing for her girl, or in this case, it's casting out a devil. It says grievously vexed of a devil. I don't know what kind it was. But whatever it was, if she can come and get deliverance for her daughter, I can come to the Word of God and get deliverance for my daughters. And notice again, the daughter's faith is conspicuously absent. Conspicuously. Let's go a little more. Let's go to, those are not very difficult cases, Gary. Have you got a hard one? Go to Mark chapter 5. Let's get a hard one. Hallelujah. I love the Word of God. Now this is Jairus' daughter. Mark 5, starting in verse 22. Behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, Jesus, he fell at his feet. And he besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed and she shall live. Now, how about that for a serious case? I mean, she's at the point of death. We found out later she's 12 years old. 12 years old. I'm a daddy. I got three daughters. I got a soft spot for girls. Now, I mean, little girls. 12 years old. I remember all my daughters at 12 years old. Man, if one of them is sick, I mean, it's bad enough when you're just normal sick. But thank God I never had one at the point of death. Man, I'm telling you. I think I can relate with his heart a little. She's at the point of death. He says, he prayed, Jesus, come lay your hands on her, that she might be healed, that she may be healed and she shall live. Jesus went with him and much people followed him and thronged him. Now, right in the middle of this, we have a perfect example of getting something by your own faith. We're really teaching on faith for intercession tonight. But let's look at this woman. In the middle of this, we have a case. We could take up a whole week of teaching right here just on this woman with the issue of blood. So right in the middle of this, now put yourself in Jairus' shoe. Your daughter is at the point of death. Would you be interested in Jesus getting to her quickly? I would. But he's very courteous through this whole thing. Now watch. I'd be tugging on Jesus' robe, man. Anyway. A certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was none bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude that's thronging thee?" I mean, they were on all sides pressing against him, bumping against him. "This multitude that's thronging thee, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" But see, he knew somebody touched him with the touch of faith, see. Not the physical touch. Somebody touched him with faith. He looked around to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter," now notice this, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Now this is the classic way I've understood the prayer of faith. Is you go to God and you get what you need. In the same way, this woman, she had a specific desire. She knew what she wanted from God. God doesn't take it for granted. Look it up for yourself. I don't know if I have it in this study or not. There was the two blind men that came to Jesus. He sees them walking up to him. Two blind men. If you had two blind guys walking up to you and you're a healer, everyone knows you heal. Most of us would just assume what they wanted. You know what he asked them? "What would you have me do for you?" He wants to hear your requests. Anyway. And he said to her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Now that kind of faith is what I've cut my teeth on. That's what I've known. Go to God's word to receive what you need yourself. But now notice we're really studying, in this case, intercessory faith. Where Jairus has come, not for himself, but for his daughter. But right in the middle of it, this woman with the issue of blood thing happened. Jairus keeps his peace. He doesn't say anything. But notice in verse 35, "While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, 'Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any farther?'" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." Smith Wigglesworth's favorite song, "Only Believe." Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. I noticed Jairus didn't utter a word. Notice he didn't say anything. Sometimes there's a time to speak. Sometimes there's a time to just stand. Jesus said, "Fear not, only believe." Time to be doing exactly that. Jesus suffered no man to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. Can you see that scene? Oh God, you ever been to hospital rooms when it's serious case? Man, we've all been there, have we not? And you can feel it in the atmosphere. You can feel it. It's like death in the air, you know? But when he was come in, he said unto them, "Now, don't ever try and tell me again, don't ever, none of you, that Jesus doesn't call those things which be not as though they were." Now watch what he says here. "Why make you this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleeps." And they laughed him to scorn. That's the Greek equivalent of the same Hebrew word that's used in Psalms 1. "Blessed is the man that doesn't take his counsel from the ungodly, nor walks in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." In other words, they thought Jesus was off his banana tree. They thought he was crazy. They laughed. "The woman is plainly dead. Why do you say she sleep? Ha, 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 look at this fool." They scorned him. But when he, so what did he do? He put them all out of the room. Put them out of the room. And he takes the father and mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, he's talking to a dead person. From a natural point of view, now this woman is dead. Jesus, you're talking to trees. Now you're talking to dead people. He says, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with great astonishment. I bet they were. Then he told them to give her something to eat. Whenever you raise them from the dead, have a sandwich ready. It's instruction. It's instruction. All right, now let's bring it modern day. All right, we looked at the first one. The centurion, if he can come and get healing for his employee, I can come and get healing for my employee. All right, the lady that had the daughter vexed with the devil, if she could come and get deliverance for her daughter, I can come and get deliverance for my daughter. How about this one? My daughter's so sick she died. Fear not, only believe. There are no cases too hard. There are no cases too late. Glory to God. All right, Matthew 17:14. This is the one you're real familiar with. Because Dave teaches on it every fasting season. Every fasting season. Year after year. Oh, anyway. Over and over. Oh, I'm sorry. And we're glad he does. He's sitting on the front row right there. And we're glad. But you're real familiar with this lunatic, son. But let me show you something you might not have seen before. You know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Hold your place in Matthew 17, but back up to Matthew 4 for just a minute. I want you to see where this man got his faith. How did he know to bring his boy to Jesus? I'll show you. Matthew 4, verse 23. Deep calleth unto deep. Now say this with me. Matthew 4 comes before Matthew 17. Okay, good. Matthew 4:23 says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those that were which were possessed with devils, and those which were what? Those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. So no doubt the report, this man, you know, Jesus has been healing people that had this lunatic thing. So this man, he had a lunatic son. So now go to Matthew 17:14. It says, when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him, to Jesus, and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic and sore vexed. For oftentimes he falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind of what? This kind of unbelief goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Now you've heard that message over and over again. We're primarily dealing with the faith of the disciples. Obviously Jesus intended for them to cast it out. Obviously, he was upset with them. How long am I going to stay here with you? How long am I going to have to do this for you? Well, why couldn't we do it? Because of your unbelief. He didn't mince any words. But see, Mark's account of this same thing gives us a little more information than we have in just Matthew's account alone. So go over to Mark 9. Same incident. But he gives us a little more information. Did you know Jesus gave three ways that this boy could be healed? Three ways. And really, there's a fourth one. The lunatic son's own faith could have got him healed. But let me tell you, sometimes people get beyond accountability. And I think he was probably beyond that point. People get to a certain place and they're not accountable anymore. It's beyond them. And they're looking to the church. How about all those children in the children's hospital? We're not going to hold them accountable, are we? How about we be the accountable ones and go in there and get them out, healed in Jesus' name? Well, you've got to have faith for it. When 99% of the church is telling you it's not possible, you're going to have faith from God's word yourself. That's what we're doing tonight. Faith from God's word for intercession. All right? Now, so we already know that Jesus intended for his own disciples to use their faith to get that boy healed. But now look what he said to the Father. We get this in Mark's account that we didn't get in Matthew's. In Mark's account, Jesus said unto him, to the Father, if thou canst believe, if you can believe, Daddy, all things are possible to him that believes. Jesus is opening up another avenue here. Yeah, my disciples should have done it, but listen. If you can believe, your faith can get this boy healed. I love the honesty of this father. Look what he says. Straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Now what I get from that, obviously he had heard about Jesus healing the lunatics. He had faith or he wouldn't have brought his boy there. He's going, Lord, I have faith. I'm believing with all I know how, but I didn't get the job done. Here's a good prayer for you. Lord, I've done all I know how to do. Would you help me with my unbelief? And you notice he did. How compassionate is our Lord. How compassionate is our Lord. He told me one time in prayer, he says, son, if you come to the end of your faith, I will loan you my faith. You have access to my faith. That's exactly what happened here. I have scripture for that. Look, he says, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw the people come running together, he rebuked that foul spirit, said unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more in. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead. Now get this picture. He didn't just lie there for 10 seconds either, because even the people thought he was dead. Thud. I want to pray for you. And then in the name, thud. Uh-oh. Kick, kick. Uh-oh. Everyone's looking. Is his chest going up and down? I think he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up. And he arose. Glory to God. Now notice there's several ways this boy could have got healed. We know from the woman with the issue of blood, if he's not past that accountability point, his own faith could have got him healed. Jesus said that daddy's faith could have got him healed. Jesus, he intended for his disciples' faith to get the boy healed. But Jesus, through this example, is telling me, if I've come to the end of all my faith, if I'll go to him and say, help my unbelief, he'll even help me. He'll give me some of his faith to operate on, and we'll still get the job done. We're trying to eliminate excuses from God's word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm giving you God's word on these things, all right? So far, we've got employees got healed. We got a couple of cases of daughters that got healed. Here we've got a lunatic son. It's a real serious case that got healed. How about a friend getting healed? Go to Mark chapter 2. A friend to get healed. Not even a blood relative. Not even an employee, just a friend. I can have faith for my friends and get them healed with my faith? Well, if God's word means anything, you can. Now watch this. Mark chapter 2, verse 1. And he, that's Jesus, entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. Straightway many were gathered together. A big crowd came. Insomuch that there was no room to receive them, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. It took four men to carry this guy. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, there were just too many people there, They uncovered the roof where he was, and when they broke it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And notice, when Jesus saw their faith, again, conspicuously absent is the faith of the person on the bed. We're not told anything about his faith. The lunatic boy, conspicuously absent anything about him, yay or nay, nothing. It's like it's not even relevant. What's relevant is, do you have any faith? When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, and take up thy bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thy house. And immediately he rose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. They're going to be saying the same thing in Tulsa. Now here we've got a case where these guys brought a friend. A friend, their faith. Didn't say anything about his faith. They came to the Word. They came to Jesus. They came to the Word of God. And they received healing for a friend. If they could get healing for their friend, I can get healing for my friend. Instruction book. In case he dies, bring a sandwich. Always have that sandwich, you'll be ready. Anyway. All right. Now, here's the big question. Be turning to John 16. Now, see, here's the thing. You say, yeah, here come the yabbits. Yeah, but. Whole herds of yabbit attack every message. Yeah, but, Gary. That's when Jesus was on the earth. If he was on the earth now, I know I could go to him and I could get healing for my daughter. I could get healing for my friend. I could get healing for my servant, my employee. I know, Brother Gary, I could do that if Jesus was here, but he's not here, Brother Gary. So what do we do now? I'm glad you asked, little person of unbelief, as Dave would say. I'm just not using the voice, the nasalated voice of the unbelief creature. See, they came to Jesus in order to receive their miracle. What is the picture there? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He created everything that is, and nothing that is was created without him, not one single thing. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among him. When it says they brought him to Jesus, that's true. He is the Word of God made flesh. God's Word is quick, it's alive, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, exactly how do we do it, though? Did Jesus give us his ways? Did Jesus instruct us on the ways of God after he left, how we could go about doing this? Yes, he did. And it's in John 16. He says, in that day, he's talking about after the resurrection, John 16, 23. In that day, you shall ask me nothing. Now, up until then, they always came to Jesus. If you needed a healing, if you needed a miracle, you came to Jesus. But he's saying, now then, after that, in that day, you're not going to come and ask me. I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things I've spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day, he says it again, just so we couldn't misunderstand it, you shall ask in my name, and I say unto you that, I say not unto you that I'll pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. You want to see one of those prayers real quick? Them doing it? Go to Acts 4. Acts 4, verse 29, just for a moment. This is one of those prayers. And They were just learning how to do this. This was early in the church age after the resurrection, Acts 4. They'd been brought in and given read the riot act by the chief priest and the Pharisees and commanded to no more teach in that name, beaten and everything. So they're praying at the end of it, praying to God the Father. And you can tell they're praying to the Father. They're not praying to Jesus because they mention thy holy child Jesus. The Father is the Father of the holy child Jesus. So now they have learned they're not praying to Jesus. They're praying to the Father. Look what they pray. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Now notice, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Glory to God. I've seen people shake. I'm looking forward to when the building shakes. Yeah, the whole building shakes with the power of God. Now, this whole thing that he says here in John 16, and I got to wind this down for tonight, is very similar to what Jesus taught in Luke 11. We taught on this several weeks ago. We went to Luke 11 about, he was saying, I want you to go and pray for the bread. Remember the guy who went to a friend at midnight because he had no bread to give to his friend that had come? And he says, now, which of you has a friend? You'd go to him at midnight and he'd say, no, I'm already in bed with my kids. You just go your way. No bread for you. No bread for you. Anyway, you don't have any friends like that. Your Father God's not like that. I'm telling you, if you go and ask, you will receive. And if you seek and if you knock, that what he was saying, you're going to get it. Your Father will give it to you. That's what faith is. Believe you receive when you pray. You can go get bread for other people, intercession for them, bread for these friends that come. They have no bread of their own. Father, give me the bread. Here they're praying, Lord, let signs and wonders be done through the name of thy holy child Jesus. Stretch forth thine hand to heal. It's time the church rose up and took our place and make some intercession by faith. Same principles. Know what you want from God. Go and ask for it. Receive it into the dominion of your kingdom. Now see, Jesus was manifested to them. It was a time they got instant answers every time. I would to God we got instant answers every time. And I don't want you to have faith for long waiting spaces. I believe the day will come. We'll get them just as quick as they got them there. But I have learned through experience. I don't have faith for long waiting periods. But I've learned there's sometimes a distance from the time I believe I receive until the time it's manifested. What do you do during that time? What do you do? Let me just give you two verses. During that waiting time, that's when you praise, you worship, you minister to your own soul in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. And you hold fast the profession of your faith without wavering, for he is faithful who promised. Did you get anything out of that? Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand. Faith for intercession. Faith for intercession. Those aren't in there for no reason. You can get healing for your daughter. You can get healing for your servants, employees. You can get healing for your friends. Glory to God. Hallelujah. More to come. Praise God forever.